Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Peter.
Yes, I'm Pete Donaldson, self-employed. My past includes Coach's Corner and professional wrestling. And I studied sports and so I'm reading off Marty Jannetty's Facebook page again. Let's close that down.
There is actually a very, very good photograph, which I have made sure I've saved and downloaded, of just put up going, hey, and it's Pat Tanaka, who was Tanaka in the Orient Express.
Yes.
We saw them at WrestleMania 6. Mm. And it's Pat Tanaka cutting out lines of cocaine in a kitchen. And rather than just be a sort of, whoops, how did that get there? Marty's written a big thing just saying, here's Pat Tanaka of the Orient Express cutting out some powder,
big fat
cocaine lines of cocaine in a kitchen. And he says, see the thing that looks like a sugar bowl? That ain't full of sugar. Ah!
What I like about that is it's not vindictive. He's not trying to destroy anyone's careers. He just loves to party.
He loves to party. He likes a laugh.
He loves a giggle.
There's also a picture of him in his heyday in the 80s, a sort of ripped up photograph. God knows where it's sort of come from.
Yeah.
But it's him just nude with a sort of pie dish over his dick. And he's on the phone to someone as well. and then someone's taken this photograph. And the whole thing, you sort of go, wow, it's never not been out of control.
Watching that pie dish. No. Sugar.
Yeah.
That's how I take it now.
We are talking, of course, about pro wrestling, the king of sports. And the reason we mentioned Marty Jannetty is he was used in the build up to the following match, which is Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle.
Yes.
Boom shakalak.
Where'd that come from?
I was trying to think of words to just describe how good this match is.
It was really good.
There are words are not good enough to do this. This is two guys crossing over, one on the sort of way, he's just at the A-list, and the other one is just getting a little over and going back down because of age.
Yeah.
And they meet at this sweet spot where they've both got something to prove. One going, I'm not past it. The other going, injuries haven't slowed me down. I am the best in the world. And it's just a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece by two people who were probably on that night the best wrestlers in the world. It has the pacing in some ways of a Japanese match, this, where it's all about the little things and the telling the story and the build, and they just do it so well. I'd forgotten how good this match is. Really, really, I remember at the time, like Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle, thrilling. You know, could it be better? And watching it and just going, that surpassed all of my expectations.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Watching it back, I haven't seen as good a match as that for ages.
Well, it sort of starts kind of the heartbreak kid. He comes in, no confetti cannons, just the world's oddest piece of clothing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And then gets in. And it's just all on the mat, like, for ages.
Yeah.
And I'm like, right. And they actually reference it on the commentary. So, again, I would not have gone for some mat work against a legitimate wrestler.
Which makes, of course, you know, the problem they have slightly with this storyline is you're saying, well, Kurt Angle is a legitimate wrestler.
Yes.
So what are we? You know, and that's a fine line for them to tread.
Mm.
And they do it so well by saying, Shawn, go out there and make it look like you're out wrestling him on the mat and serious. And this is the thing about what they do, the serious nature of it. There's a bit here, and it's a spot you've seen a million times, where they're in the turnbuckle and the referee separates them. And the referees are always a head and a half shorter than the people they're in the ring with.
Mm.
And in this one, the referee has to really struggle and push to get them apart. And you can tell they're barracking and he's in the way. Why didn't you see that more often?
Yeah.
It just made it look really physical, like they were taking it super seriously. Mm. Shawn Michaels, oddly, has a new costume that he will then wear for the next 5 years of his career, which is pretty much where it comes to an end. But they're like leather chaps.
Yeah.
So previously, he's always had those hearts on his thing. Mm. And this is almost like he's sort of become this elder statesman. Mm. And he's, the hearts are very frivolous. I'll now wear inbuilt leather chaps. like all serious businessmen. And it's just a magical match. Mm. It pretty much swept the board in this year for, you know, match of the year.
Best matches, yeah.
Yeah.
And like,
Wrestling
again,
Observer.
And Shawn Michaels is obviously, you know, getting on. It's like half an hour nearly. It's insanely long. And it doesn't feel like that. That's a, you know, and there's a bit where they throw each other at, like, the table.
Yeah.
And it was definitely supposed to smash in half.
Yes, it was.
But it didn't. No, do that.
Did not.
It looked, and they were down for ages after that. I was like, oh, that looked horrible.
There's a line I think Michael Cole sort of says, it's been reinforced with steel. And I was like, oh, fucking, you know, if they didn't go through it, they didn't go through it. And then they exactly. pulled back with the camera. And it has been reinforced on the outside with steel. What were they thinking?
Well, a steel bit is, which makes you think maybe it wasn't supposed to snap in half, because it does bounce a little bit. But it's been reinforced where they were going to put they'd have to put the monitors.
Yeah.
Which makes you think, hang on, are all of these tables that are snapping off actual tables that they use?
Yeah.
That there's been reinforced. They've been put the metal bit to put the fucking tellies on. I'm like, this is just a normal table. It just managed to smash through.
I think so.
Just made a chip board.
I don't think they're gimmicked. I think they're just real.
God, it's
you're sort of going, we're not going to gimmick it. I mean, what if it falls apart? Just get the reinforced steel one. If you go through it, you go through it. It's fine. The two had never ever wrestled each other before this match either. So it's the first time they've ever got there. They were so good that they didn't rehearse anything they were going to do. So they said the only spot that they actually worked on was one where Angle was going to lift Michaels off his feet, and then Michaels just sort of went into a sunset flip, which is a sort of pin.
Right.
And that was the only thing they did. The rest of it, they were like, oh, we could do this spot, we could do that. But they didn't spend any time putting together this match, which is phenomenal. The end section of 5 minutes is like a masterclass in wrestling, where Angle has put on the ankle lock and he won't let go. And Shawn Michaels is just trying to get out. And the longer it goes on, the more invested the crowd are into it. And it's just, Angle is so ferocious in doing it. And Shawn Michaels is so desperate to get out. There's a level of intensity that it seems incredible to me that you can't bring every night. I mean, it must be really hard. But when you watch two people like that doing it, if you're a wrestler, you just go, oh, God, why aren't I like that? You know, and that's pretty much all other wrestlers.
Yeah.
There's no reason why you wouldn't watch that and just go, how are they so much better than me? And it's like a Japanese match in that it's got this slow build and it's makes sense the whole way through and the moves are impactful, but everything means something, except it's got the American facials. So they are emoting the whole way through, and it's so good. I was sort of thinking, is this a top five of all time WrestleMania match? There are flashier ones, there are more fun ones, there are probably more exciting ones, but I think just from a pure storytelling and physicality. It's just unbeatably good. It was
it definitely,
really
it definitely
good.
Stood up. It definitely stood up and stood out, so to speak. But just the table, the kickouts were like really good as well.
It can be a hard thing. You can see it sometimes when someone's in a submission hold and the match is going to end, where they hang on, and sometimes they can hang on too long, and the crowd slightly deflate, and then when they tap, okay, there we are. And this one, they're in it for 5 minutes, and it's just building and building and building and building, and it's just amazing.
Yeah.
Angle gets some kind of sort of thump that he has on the table, and he has blood coming from the inside of his mouth. And WWE have never been very keen on blood capsules.
Yeah.
That's not really a thing they do, apart from in sort of angles where, you know, you'd get hit in the throat when you were in a suit, and then you'd sort of, and they carry you out. So they never use those. So it's probably legitimate blood. And it reminded me of a match that I think is the worst, most horrible thing I've ever seen. And it's a match between a masked wrestler in Puerto Rico called Invader 3, taking on a guy who was very big in the 80s called Manny Fernandez. And it takes place in about 88. And it's really, really famous because Manny Fernandez does a knee drop onto Invader 3. Mm. And Invader 3's stomach ruptures.
Oh.
And a load of blood just starts gouting out of his mouth. Like, it's so fucking rough. It's just horrible. It's like a sort of, I don't even know if it's a word, it's like a fount of, like, and it comes out, and Manny Fernandez does it twice more. And that match used to be on a video I had called, it was a four-part video that was a huge tape training video.
Torn stomachs.
Wrestling's, what's it called? Wrestling's Most Horrific Matches.
Dear.
Volumes 1-4, including the match where Sid Vicious breaks his leg, that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, okay, right, yeah.
And this, and this Invader match is so bad. I thought, I wonder if it's on YouTube. And it's on YouTube. I couldn't bring myself to click on it. But as part of that, there was a thing underneath that said, oh yeah, that's not real. It's not real. That was actually set up. And I was thinking, how do you get all that blood out of your stomach?
Yeah.
And so someone had said, well, he had a condom and he bit in it. They were saying it's wrestling parlance would be biting the rubber. So you could have a condom full of blood.
Right.
And it would go, and someone's going, that is not a condom full of blood. There is too much blood.
Yeah.
And someone said, oh, it's actually all been solved. The rest of the Ken Wayne, Kenny Wayne had told us all. What Invader 3 did was he
pumped his stomach, yeah.
No, he drank a bottle of vodka and a bucket of pig's blood and then went out to the ring. And so when the knee came, he was like, fucking, what a relief. He's lying on his back and this fountain of just black blood comes up. I hope it's fake. I hope it's
fake
so much.
Well, it wouldn't happen so quickly, I think. The blood vessels wouldn't drain quite so quickly, would it?
No, and they said Manny Fernandez then does do another two knees off the top, where if it actually happened, he probably wouldn't have gone, oh, I better make it look good. You know?
As he slips around.
Yeah, I mean, we need to do two more knee drops because obviously we can't just end it with literally, what, 8 pints of blood coming out of his mouth?
How did Invader 3 get hepatitis?
How did everyone in Puerto Rico get hepatitis? It was Invader 3.
Was Invader 3 murdered? One of
that was Invader 1.
Right, sorry, yeah. Sorry, my mistake.
So Invader 3 was a guy called Johnny Rivera, but your Invader 1 is... God, I can't remember. Do you know what? It's almost like I've got a mental block on him because I sort of hate him so much.
He stabbed somebody, didn't he?
Bruiser Brody. Yeah, Bruiser Brody. I think it's Jose Gonzalez. It's
The Argentinian singer-songwriter who did the song... not Foundation, that was Kate Nash. Down the wormhole we go.
Kenny Wayne, the man who came up with that thing of saying, no, it was a bottle of vodka and things. I was like, oh, who is Kenny Wayne? Nightmare Ken Wayne.
Right.
Sort of southern wrestler. loads and loads of information about him when you Google him. Not about his wrestling career. 2014 conviction for possession of child pornography.
Oh.
And he got a 5-year prison sentence. And that was in 2014. So he might be out today.
Well done, him.
Might be his day of release.
Well done, Nightmare. What's his Nightmare Kenny Kane? What's
Nightmare Ken Wayne.
Nightmare Ken Wayne.
I don't know if that's the Ken Wayne who answered the question about the thing, but it's definitely the Ken Wayne who was found guilty of possession of child pornography. So I'm not concerned about this bit being left in.
Okie dokie. Fine.
One of the other bits that I just noticed as well, this is good, this is the only wrestling serial killer, and this came up when I'd clicked on a thing about Ken Wayne and it had said it had a top 10 wrestlers who've murdered people thing. top 10 but there was a woman called Juana Barraza,
right?
And she was a Mexican lady, and there's a famous photograph of her as a wrestler. She called herself La Dama del Silencio, the Ooh. Lady of Silence.
Nice.
And she had a mask, and she had a belt and everything, full luchadora gear.
Hmm.
And no records seem to exist about this person wrestling anywhere.
Yeah.
But everyone's like, well, the thing is, she's got this photo, she's got this belt. It does look like she probably did it in some way that wasn't recorded.
Yeah.
She was... best known in Mexico now as a mass murderer. She was a middle-aged woman who preyed on the elderly. She was not called the Lady of Silence. She became known as the Little Old Lady Killer.
Oh.
And they believe that she killed over 40 people in
Bloody
less than a decade.
Hell.
Yeah. Oh. Go wrestling!
Beat that, fabulous moolah.
Angle does a great bit of shouting at the end as well. I really like it when wrestlers talk to one another. I like it when they start off and they go, think you're going to do this, huh? Think you're going to take it? Yeah? I've got news for you. I think it's just all part of that. Well, that makes me go, yeah, that's a legitimate thing you do in the circumstances.
Yes.
It's trash talking.
Yeah.
And there's a brilliant sequence here where Angle gets Shawn Michaels' head and he's getting frustrated. He just goes, just tap out. He goes, just tap out, Michaels. Michaels, tap
we
out.
We get the money anyway.
And Michaels does, as he's shouting at him, he takes one step back and Michaels does a absolutely brilliant super kick.
Yeah.
Just takes his head off. And whoever the commentator is begins going, there's that line about Kennedy, I forget what it is, it's not back into the left, but it's one of those things where they just go, oh, the shot heard round the world! And it's, wow. It's just, the last minutes, honestly, watch the whole thing, because the last minutes out of context won't mean anything without the stuff that goes before.
Yeah.
But build in that. That is one of the great North American matches of the 2000s. Mm. It's, and the 2000s, wrestling becomes very, very good. And that is just absolutely up there in the, it's easily top five.
I certainly enjoyed it. Fantastic. I certainly enjoyed it.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Yep. It is time for the first ever sumo match. We're going to send it up to our ring announcer, Tony Chimmel.
Yep.
It is time for the first ever sumo match. We're going to send it up to our ring announcer, Tony Chimmel.
Cut to Mae Young and Moola in the crowd.
Yeah, because I, yeah. So
just very, very just quickly.
I just couldn't understand why they did that.
No, they were just sort of going, there. Here they are. The thing I like about that is they're both go, hey, like that.
Moolah puts her hand up really high.
She does.
And Mae Young looks and goes,
and then Moolah looks over at Mae Young's hands that are waving, and she just goes, like, she bats them down, like, stop that. you're making a fool of yourself.
With your arms up high.
With your waving and your flapping. Absolutely no need to.
You look at their kind of their choice of like makeup and stuff, and you sort of go, oh, I can see why they were quite glamorous in their day, like why they were so fabulous.
I had an aunt called Auntie Mary who was probably in her 80s, you know, when I was a kid, and she was one of those ladies who had always had perfect makeup.
Yeah.
And as she was 80, she kept it going because her eyesight was going. It was three times as thick as it needed to be. So it's just like really those brassy old girls that you used to see. Yeah. You know, oh, can't get enough of it. Slightly, when I see Moolah and Mae Young, they feel like the women who were around when I grew up.
Right.
But I mean, thank God they weren't.
They'd be preying on you.
We then cut to Piper's Pit.
Yeah.
So Rowdy Roddy Piper has been inducted the night before in the Hall of Fame.
This is just one big fucking party.
Yep.
Come to the office.
Yep. He looks at the Hall of Fame when they show you that. He looks quite sort of like with it. By the time he comes out of WrestleMania, he looks like he's been sleeping in a fucking ditch. Back for one day, ruined. He looks really greasy and sort of like lank hair. Can't do this. And out comes Stone Cold Steve Austin. Mm. So his return, pretty much, he's disappeared for a year, and back he comes. Piper falls absolutely arse over tit into the what?
Oh,
problem. And Piper is not happy about it at all.
I thought that was a work, and then I was like, nah, he's too annoyed about it.
Piper is one of these things that he's one of the great talkers, and he is one of the great talkers. It didn't always make sense, but he had that moniker of being the greatest talker in wrestling.
But he used space quite well. Like he wasn't like a quick kind of like fast talker, but he used pacing quite well, and that's not what that crowd were giving you.
As soon as you take that breath, they are going to what you.
You warned me about this.
Are you deaf? Are you deaf? And you know, he starts going, oh, you can't hear him either.
Yeah.
But you suddenly go, gosh, he's got that thing of going, instead of being antagonistic to Stone Cold, which I can't understand why he would be anyway. That there's a big basic logic flaw with this where they do it, where Piper is sort of going, who are you? Who are you? I've seen you. You know, what are we doing?
I thought it was just Piper's Pit.
Yeah.
You've got a sign made up that says guest starring
Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I look at it and I think, well, what are we building to here? Because it's not like I'm going to go, well, they're going to have a match.
Yeah.
So why are they coming out and being arseholes to each other? What's going to happen? I don't understand what the point of this is.
Like Meg Ryan and Aspel.
they what Piper, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And he does try and change the rhythm to talk over it, and, you know, he smooths it out a bit.
Yeah.
And just when it's sort of you're going, I don't know what's going on. Out comes Carlito Caribbean Cool.
Who the fuck is Carlito Caribbean Cool when he's at home?
Do you know, he was
here
all over the programming, and it's only when you have him walk out at WrestleMania in a bit with Rowdy Roddy Piper and Stone Cold Steve Austin, you go, do you know what? It can be a long time a year in WWE programming if you just miss it all out. So Carlito was brought in as a cool heel.
Right.
He is the son of Carlos Colon, the Puerto Rican wrestling sensation.
Yeah, yeah.
Long-time rival of Abdullah the Butcher. And out comes Carlito, and he was very good. He had a reputation for being lazy. Why not?
Yeah.
And he comes out, and his basic thing was he would eat an apple and spit it in someone's face, and he would go along the lines of going, you're not cool.
I'm a lazy man.
I'm very lazy.
I'm an ethnic minority, cool. And I'm lazy.
That is cool. My father owns a huge wrestling federation that I will always be able to go back to. Not wrong. That is cool. Anyway, out he comes. And
very rested. I don't enjoy this at all.
Piper, you can tell, he realises this is dying a bit, and he's trying desperately to sort of... Carlito is on the apron, he gets the mic, and Piper just goes, shut up, just come in here. It's just getting a bit... It's all getting away from him. And I feel really bad for them all, and it just... Anyway, so Piper gets beaten up by Carlito, Stone Cold stuns Carlito, and then Piper gets up, and the two of them drink beer, and then Austin...
Stuns
Piper. Don't trust anyone. And Piper looks... I mean, he doesn't...
Confused.
He looks confused.
And
his
wet.
Legs are really thin. He has to use the ropes to get up, and he looks staggery and terrible. And just 4 years, and we get to see him back in the ring at WrestleMania.
Oh,
WrestleMania
God.
25, Piper will be back in the ring.
Put him down.
It seemed a sort of disrespectful way of dealing with Piper with this, where he just looked like he was washed up, and everyone beat him up, and everyone out-talked him.
Yeah.
And it just seemed
out-dragged
like...
him at one one point. He was like, kind of, him, he, yeah. clearly with his Miller Lights suddenly started pretending he was pissed.
Bah!
Or maybe he still was.
Bah! I don't know. it didn't work. But again, I'd been lulled into a full sense of security by watching all those promos for WrestleMania 21 that's so well written. And then you suddenly realise, oh yeah, we're back to the normal stuff now where there's logic flaws and none of it really makes sense. You know, why have we done this?
At least they've kind of spread the weird shit out. They've spread all the weird shit out and put a couple of good matches in the middle. So, By the time we get to the end, we'll get to this one.
You know, we go straight on to the sumo match between Big Show and Akebono.
Akebono, good God. Like,
this is madness.
They changed the entire ring for that.
Yep.
They changed it into a sumo wrestling ring.
It is worth saying, they had only shown Akebono once on WWE TV. He didn't sign a contract. No. He was there for one night doing a sport that no one in America understands or cares about.
No.
He is not an aesthetically pleasing man.
No.
Right?
So, and if you put Big Show in some sumo clothes, he is also not very aesthetically pleasing.
Do you know what? At least Akebono, because he was a Hawaiian guy. He was the only non-Japanese guy to rise, I think the first maybe, to rise to the level of Yokozuna in sumo.
Right, okay. Yeah,
and he spends, I think, something like 8 years as a Yokozuna, and he takes on Japanese citizenship, which you have to do. So I think his real name is Chad something.
Right.
Chadwick Rowan, and he takes on the name Akebono. There is a surname again, Taue, or I can't remember what it is. But this didn't make any sense. I don't know what they were doing. Why are we suddenly doing sumo?
Why are we suddenly doing sumo?
With a guy that no one in America has heard of.
And Big Show's not done sumo before, has he?
No.
So, like, why is he suddenly doing this?
Tony Chimmel, the ring announcer, when he does the... Oh, my God.
I've just shown a picture of a freeze frame from...
Do you know, I know exactly when that happened because I saw that and I thought, Jesus Christ, there are some weird looking things. That
Big
is
Show's big old bum. He does a double roll out of freeze that right at that time. And
do you know what he looks like? You know those mad old perverts who are like, get diapered?
Yeah.
He looks like a mad old pervert. So when he comes out as well in his kimono, Akebono is used to Japanese culture and he's got, because you've never seen him before, you just go, oh, that's what that guy wears. Fair enough. When Big Show comes out wearing a fucking, like a Hugh Hefner-y...
Yeah.
Kimono.
Are they going to fuck? What's going on?
It's the sort of thing where if I ever ordered a prostitute, that'd turn up and you just go, I can't get out.
I don't want
to let anyone down.
I wrote the wrong thing down, didn't I?
This must be my fault.
I went on a bit of a sumo kick and this made me giggle. One of Japan's most famous and celebrated sumo wrestlers, Mayanumi Shuhei, initially failed the test to become a sumo wrestler because he was an inch too short. You had to be 5'8".
Gotcha.
So to get around this, he had a surgeon implant an inch thick piece of silicone atop his skull.
Oh my God.
Unsurprisingly, he was banned the following year. And this is a picture of him getting, well, it's not a weigh-in, but like a medical where they checked his height. Look at his fucking head. He looks like he's got an Elvis kind of quiff,
you know,
but it's actually his head.
You know those Tupperware boxes your mum used to have?
Yes.
It's like that size.
But it's
just gone into his head.
There's a story today where a man from Bogota flew into Spain with a toupee, and he also had like a packet of cocaine on his head, basically.
In a
From Bogota as well, from fucking Bogota. Could not believe that. I mean, good Lord. I mean, just wonderful. Just wonderful. I also found, I'm trying to find the picture of the Bogota man. But there's been a lot of face app action today. Everyone's been making each other look very
That's going to be so far
it's
down.
It's going to be so far down the list. Terrible.
There seems to be no other reason why they would do this. So Akebono had been... he'd been a sumo. He'd stopped wrestling sumo. He was quite tall, which was one of the things that actually didn't really help him in sumo for some reason. I don't know much about sumo.
Well, actually, the shot, Mayanumi Shuhei, was a very, 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 very prolific sumo wrestler, but he was only 5'7" after he had his implants taken out.
Akebono had been told he wouldn't succeed because he was so tall.
Right.
So I think he was about 6'4", 6'6". Yeah. So he's quite big. And you can see that with the Big Show. Mm. He's not like, 2 foot taller, than Akebono. Akebono had gone from doing sumo and then he'd started doing MMA. Mm. So he'd been in K1 and things like that, which is a kickboxing MMA sort of a thing. There is... I cannot understand why they brought him there. Akebono did become a big celebrity in Japan. And the MMA stuff made him even bigger. And I think it just, it came down to the fact that WWE, shortly after WrestleMania, were doing a Japanese house show. And they had two of them. And they had Akebono then team with the Big Show to take on two, you know, fucking no-hopers, you know, the proper WWE mid-carders and win. And I think that was the only reason
we're getting those two together
that basically. They put them on WrestleMania was to sort of to get this big star from Japan for these two nights they had to sell out. And they did it where they got one man who's only coming in for one match in the WWE, and they had him beat their giant, who is there every day. It's absolutely mental.
Oh dear.
Akebono does go on to have a wrestling career the month after this. So he basically, they do the Japanese shows. And then Akebono moves to Wrestle One, which is a promotion owned by the Great Muta. He then went to New Japan, where he ends up taking place in the G1 Climax, which is a big tournament that happens every year, seen as being the peak of wrestling. Yeah. Akebono was not good either at MMA or wrestling at all. But Akebono stayed in wrestling for years. He went to New Japan. My favourite is when he went to Hustle in 2007. And Hustle is a sort of mad Japanese fun soap sci-fi wrestling promotion.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll just read you the bit from Wikipedia. Akebono debuted in Hustle in 2007, being the storyline son of Yingling and the Great Muta. Under the name Monster Bono, Akebono was introduced being unrealistically born from a giant egg before winning his first bout. After that, Monster Bono, who had a simple childlike personality under the control of his mother, entered the service of Takada Monster Army.
I love how businesslike it is when it comes down to it.
Big Show has called this his most embarrassing moment in his wrestling career.
Well, he's not wrong.
He talked about
a lot of his arse.
He said that when they put the silk things on, they then tighten it up using water, and they put loads and loads of water on it, and it gets tighter and tighter and tighter.
Yeah.
He was also at the heaviest he'd ever been. Mm. And if there's another reason why this match might have happened, it was Vince McMahon saying, if you're going to be this fucking fat, you are going to do sumo, and I will bring over a fat sumo and you will fight him in the ring in a nappy. And there is a possibility that it's not beyond the realms of belief.
Mm.
Big Show himself was saying, I was at my heaviest when I did that match against Akebono. I was 537 pounds. I think Akebono, at a shoot weight, weighed 488 pounds.
Jeez.
So that's 50 pounds less than the Big Show. Because I remember Vince being pissed at me because Akebono was supposed to weigh more than me. Vince looked at me and he said, 509 pounds. He shook his head and he walked off. I said to him, I'm a quarter ton of fun. What do you want me to say?
Aww. Big Show, you're so sweet.
But yeah, Jesus Christ, that photo. When they are flailing around, there's a lot of bits because of the height of the ring and the way the cameraman is shooting it. There's a lot of these big boys.
Big boys' bums.
It's also the sort of, I mean, it's all the sort of areas as well where it's like you can do your fake tan and everything. And then they crouch down and you're like, there's a grey.
There's a grey between.
Those are the grey bits. What's going on?
In a line, in concentric circles and lines.
Like the oyster on a roast chicken, the whole thing. It was just, because they're crouching and, I mean, it was an obscene spectacle that absolutely, I mean, the funny thing is they bring in sumo and I go, this is even worse than wrestling.
I don't really understand it, to be honest, but it's all very interesting.
Yeah, it's slappy and mean. talking of mean, the main event stars JBL.
Yes.
It's versus John Cena. Shall I give you a very, very quick rundown ahead of talking about the main event?
Next episode. That sounds good to me.
I reckon so. I mean, the problem is, this will go too long if I go through all of them.
Okay.
So I'm going to go through the first three.
Okay.
JBL has been accused of bullying by Mark Henry, Sean Daivari, Matt Hardy, René Dupree, Ivory and The Miz. Now, I've isolated those ones because I don't have specific stories about them.
Right.
I have got three pages of these.
You printed them out. Incredible.
Former WWE commentator Justin Roberts released a book called Best Seat in the House. It told the story of his 12-year WWE career. In it, he said that JBL and others constantly bullied and harassed him backstage, saying JBL would throw his bags around and call him names. Every day I saw him, wrote Roberts, he asked me why I was still alive and told me to go and kill myself.
Wow.
Roberts alleges there was an incident in which JBL was being interviewed by a high school kid, and when the high schooler dropped his notes during the interview, JBL immediately asked the child's mother if she had any children who were not mentally challenged. This is basically that's two. I'm going to do two more.
Not even in the business. So there's no axe to grind.
No. Nope.
That arm was just him being an awful man.
He terrorised me and a lot of guys, said Roberts. On a foreign trip, he had his passport stolen. He didn't know who'd done it, but he thought it was JBL. Mm. JBL actually did answer this one on Twitter. He said, "I won't answer net rumours. I didn't take Justin Roberts' passport. It could have been anyone. He was hated by the whole crew. He's an idiot."
Continuing.
Roberts said he made life hell for a lot of guys. He chewed Miz and Morrison out after they won the titles for not celebrating enough. And finally, René Dupree said JBL is an arsehole, and he said that JBL called him a French faggot every single day.
Wow.
That is part one of a projected 15-part series called JBL, What a Prick.
Yeah, I mean, because this is the first kind of I'm really hearing about him properly. So it's kind of like, why is he such a big bellend when he's just appeared for me?
I think
much.
It was because he was friends with The Undertaker. He was seen as a locker room leader. Mm. He was quite a tough guy.
Yeah,
and at the basic level, he was a fucking prick.
We'll be back next week with more WrestleMania 21, and go and pick up tickets for our King's Show Place. King's Place Show.
I think that has made it perfectly clear.
Yes. King's Place. We're going to be doing a gig in September. That's going to be very good. So join us then.
It's going to be amazing.
Podcast festival.
And if you don't come, I'll get JBL to come over to your house and beat the shit out of you.
I'll call you a...
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.